Hey, and welcome to episode 6 of PWA Radio. I'm your host, Rob Robinson. You probably found us at www.the-pwa.com. Otherwise, you stumbled upon us by accident, and if so, I apologize. Joining me and us is the co-host of PWA Radio, the future former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Mark McNasty. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, Rob. Great to be here as always, and speaking of great things, it was so nice of the Make-A-Wish Foundation to get you into that world title match, and as soon as you get into it, your career is going to be terminal.
That doesn't make any sense, and we re-recorded the intro because I tried the Ben Stein approach, and you were still fucking stuck in the rut. However, we're not going to let that stop us. We're not re-recording it. You're just going to go out across the world, across the internet, sucking, which is nothing new to you. So, chaos recap this week. The recaps are they're about a week late, but you know what can you do? Really, I wasn't around to record, and God knows they're not letting McNasty have the keys to the studio.
Not that I didn't try.
That's probably true. So did you watch Chaos this week? I didn't watch Chaos, but I did get the results.
I tried. It was a little painful.
It as Chaos often is. They started off with Scott Nash Strader take a match.
He essentially just went out there and castrated Helix.
So Strader with the big win. The Razor Dolls, they picked up a much needed victory over the Fighting Irish. Everybody agrees that the Razor Dolls, after doing nothing really. I mean, what is this? What they're like 2-1 now.
Something
1-2,
like that.
I guess. Whatever. They've won. This is their first match they've won. So, and then they're getting a tag team title. Evolution's been it. So,
which I'm sure Dragon and Doshki still aren't happy about.
You know what? I don't know how concerned they are. Probably not very. But, it's definitely not a title shot that they deserve. I'll say that.
Yeah, but you know what? A mosquito buzzes around your ear enough, it starts bugging the shit out of you.
I suppose. Now, at this point, though, what's left of the tag team division? There's the Lunatic Fringe, there's the Razor Dolls, there's Might and Magic. Is that our entire tag team ranks right now?
Well, you can't really count Great A Nastiness because they're just too good to consider with the rest of those lowly people, but yeah, that's essentially it.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to be looking for a new tag team partner really soon, so I just left them out. Speaking of Lunatic Fringe, Cyrus Moore, a stunning upset, was defeated by Kindred. I was shocked. Were you shocked?
Cyrus's brain went wandering and just didn't come back.
Yeah, I'm missing the Cyrus of old, but, I guess you got to take what's available in Kindred. So maybe some big things for Kindred. Wow, that was just stunning. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and maybe get some coffee or some... you probably take lattes, don't you? You like lattes? Bet you like lattes. So, McNasty's going to get a latte, and I'm going to get a Coke, and we'll just break. All right, and we are back. We're going to talk about Rampage now. So hopefully McNasty will be a little livelier right now. Rampage starts off with a Chameleon. Did you see the beginning of this? He's a real big man because he can, intimidate Bud Adams.
I know, like Project X has an already like lifespan, but...
Yeah, and here's the best part, is Adams actually doesn't back down from Chameleon, so maybe Chameleon's not such a big guy after all. But
come on, who does Chameleon Demento really intimidate? I mean, seriously, come on.
You know what, here's what's really funny, is apparently, like, Psycho Sandra kicked him out, so that's how he's hooked up with Fire. So he's not even, like, a woman isn't even afraid of Chameleon at this point. Then to our first match with Erica Engel taking on Duff. Is this the first time this match has happened? Because it seems like, I feel like I've watched this match like 1,000 times.
Well, I mean, I'm so used to seeing Duff just get pounded around by women. I mean, it really just all blurs together nowadays.
I suppose that's it. Yeah, and nothing changes this time. Duff started out strong, but yeah, he ends up tapping out to Erica's, whatever her submission move is.
Well, I mean, come on, dude, seriously. Duff has, like, never passed up a chance for some chick to, like, grope him, so why would things change?
All right, maybe that's it. Maybe he's losing on purpose. Then Scott Nash Strader, fresh from chaos, comes out. He's all sad because his family got beat up, so boo fucking who. He's pissed off about the PWA hiring Nathan Kelso? I don't know.
Kelso?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, Kelso? Are you telling me that Sommers hired that dumbass from that 70s show?
That's very possible. I don't know who the fuck this dude is. all I know is that SNS really, really hates him. And then we got...
So does anyone with taste.
What was that?
So does anyone with taste.
Yeah, all right. I guess, yeah. If it is that 70s dude, yeah, sure. Next match is our very own Mark McNasty takes on Lex Demise. McNasty?
Match of the night.
Sure, whatever. You barely avoid a loss. You have to beg the referee to stop the match. It was embarrassing.
Dude, it's not my fault that Lex, like, has subconscious homo tendencies and wanted a piece of Big Nasty.
Speaking of homo tendencies, Alex Wilkie comes out and chases off Demise. He's all pissed off that some other guy was touching his man. That was nice. And after Demise runs off, he runs backstage, runs into Joe Boxer. Joe Boxer's like, hey, Lex. Lex's like, yeah. Boxer's like, hey, you're in the Rumble.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Everybody's in the Rumble, right? Like, Boxer was acting like this was a big favor he was doing for him.
That must have something to do in Bizarro World with the mandatory title shots or something.
Yes, that's probably it. Elsewhere backstage, Dan's making sure that Nightmare isn't going to turn on his tag partners in the following match, which is a 6-man, or more accurately, a 4-man and 2-woman tag match, featuring Nightmare, Deacon Frost, and Vicious, taking on Matthew the Virus Engel, Riona Langley, and Circa. I'm pretty sure the entrances took longer than the match itself.
Yeah, I know, right? I heard someone read War and Peace in the time it took those entrances to finish it up.
I do have a question, speaking of the entrances. What exactly is a celestial trigger? I don't know what that even means. So, Riona, if you're listening, please write in and let us know so we can, you know, let the world in on the secret.
I wonder if that's your idea for a brand of vibrators or something.
Sexy. Whatever it is, the ladies end up winning the match. Apparently, though, Circa got injured at some point. I was kind of nodding off, so I don't know what happened to her, but...
Yeah, I like to pay attention to those matches, I believe you found out, but the thing is, I hear through grapevine that Circa's already back up on her feet, and hopefully will be back pretty damn soon.
You heard she was on her feet? Where'd you hear that?
I got my sources.
Really? Because last time I saw her, she wasn't on her feet. That's all I'm going to really say about that. We move on to a PWA TV title match with champion Fire taking on Kyle Stevenson. Chameleon comes out, makes it a no DQ match.
And somebody put me out of my misery.
Yeah, and basically Fire and Chameleon spend the entire match taking on Kyle Stevenson. Now, everybody that listens to PWA Radio, they know I'm a huge Kyle Stevenson fan, but quite frankly... it doesn't take two people to beat him, okay? It doesn't take two people to beat anybody in the PWA. So that doesn't speak well of Fire. She really hasn't proven anything in the PWA, and here she is having to keep her title by having Chameleon help her out.
That's just, like, sad, Rob. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think it says a lot about, you know, the people that Chameleon surround off with. You know, first off, Razor needs 3 tries to win his world title, and now Fire needs, like, 2 people to take down Kyle Stevenson. So, anyway, after the match is over, Joe Boxer comes out. He grants Stevenson a rematch at Revolutions Per Minute since Circa got injured in the previous match. And he also says that Chameleon will be barred from ringside during that match. So, yeah. Yay, Joe Boxer. Actually, yay, Woo. Joe Boxer, because come to think of it, anything that gets Chameleon off of my TV, yay. I'm a fan.
We should have that guy back on here just to thank him for getting Chameleon out of our face.
That's a good point. Although I don't know if coming on PW Radio is really like a reward, but... then we have our main event for the night. Razor and Project X teaming up yet again, taking on Alex Wilkie, Grade A, Alex Wilkie, substituting for a relaxing Enix. And he's going to be teaming up with...
Oh, yeah, because you did a lot of relaxing during this match.
I did. This was the most relaxed I've been in ages. He teams up with Corey Lazarus, the man, special referee Cyrus Morin, and special guest enforcer, the Phoenix.
Well, he enforced something.
He does. You know what? The Phoenix, for those of you who didn't watch, did indeed enforce the rules of the match by kicking Gregory Price out of ringside. Laz, not happy about this. He slaps the Phoenix. Now, I don't know about you, but where I come from, that's an automatic suspension right there. You know, the guy's there to keep the peace. You lay your hands on him, you're out of here.
I don't know. I mean, Phoenix was asserting himself in a position that he really shouldn't have been. I think that someone should put Phoenix in his place and tell him to keep his mitts out of what's not his business.
Are you retarded? The Phoenix was the enforcer. He was enforcing. That was his job. Anyway, that...
I'm sure you were enforcing something into someone, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we've already discussed Circa. Now we're going to go on. And Gregory Price, he felt the wrath. Did you hear that? That's me punching my hand, and I really shouldn't have done that because it hurts a little bit. God.
Poor Rob.
Poor Rob. I really shouldn't do that right before Revolutions Per Minute. That was a bad move. No. Then the line of the night from Brian Renfro. Did you hear this? Corey Lazarus just got probed.
What else is new?
That's right. Wilkie ends up getting the win after the Phoenix after he enforces on Project X with the flame. So
he enforced all over Project X.
Yeah. So then after the match is over and Wilkie's all happy that he won, then Corey Lazarus, he eats another flame. And quite frankly, the dude's not that bright. This is the second time he's gotten attacked from behind by the Phoenix, and he falls for it every goddamn time.
No, see, the thing is that doesn't impress me about Lazarus. I beat him straight up two times. You know, I didn't even have to, you know, surprise him like some people, but whatever works for you, Rob.
I see. Yeah, whatever. I'll tell you what. You're on night one of Revolutions Per Minute, right?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Not the main event of the whole goddamn weekend, so just shut your mouth. Yeah.
Whatever makes you feel like big and mighty. I mean, I'd rather win on the first night than lose and get brutalated on the third night.
Brutalated?
So I'm good with
that. I don't even know if that's a word. I don't think that's
a word. McNasty can make
Okay, we actually got to hurry up because you got to get you got a match coming up like tonight. So, not that it's going to matter. You're probably going to lose. But anyway, so. Yeah, okay. After Lazarus gets beat up and just knocked silly, Cyrus eats a probe. He gets probed, probably also not the first time. And
Waka Waka.
That's right. And that's it. Rampage goes off the air with Razor for one final time. Hopefully the final time in his entire goddamn career, raising the title belt up in the air. Like he earned it in the first place. He waltzed into a title shot he didn't deserve, had the match restarted twice, finally wins due to shenanigans, and he's acting like he's like fucking top dog.
Well, you can talk any sense into that, man. I mean, shit, his brain's deader than he thinks, everyone.
Anyway. We don't have a preview for next week's show. What's coming up immediately is Revolutions Per Minute, which I think we've devoted two shows to it. So, is there really that much more for us to say? Do you have anything?
Really don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I think we've really exhausted the Revolutions Per Minute talk until we can do a recap on it. So, with that, we're going to go ahead, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back with an interview with our special guest, which I'm going to leave a surprise just in case he doesn't show up. So there we go. We'll be back.
They all live on donuts and Blue Speech, and they leave the house without packing heat. Never even bring their guns to the mall. And you know what else is too funny? Their stupid monopoly money can't take them seriously at all. Sports. They think their silly accent is so cute. Can't understand a thing they're talking about. Sure, they get the national health care, cheaper meds for prime rates and clean air. Then again, well, they got Celine Dion. Eat their way to craft macaroni and dream of prime Vanessa Boney. Don't wanna be a Canadian idiot. Won't figure out the temperature in Celsius. See the map, they're hovering right over us. Tell you the truth, it makes me kinda nervous. Always hear the same kind of story. Break their nose and they'll just say sorry. Tell me what kind of freaks are an apple. Before they see it coming, time for a preemptive strike.
All right, and we are back. We actually do have our special guest with us tonight.
Hello.
I haven't introduced yet, special guest.
Oh,
He is a former Grizzly Beer champion here in the PWA, one half of Grade A Nastiness, the superior half of Grade A Nastiness. Please welcome to the show, Grade A Alex Wilkie.
I wouldn't say superior, I would just say the goon of Grade A Nastiness.
I don't even know what that means.
Is that the goonies? God.
Somebody from Something Awful. I know that. They're the goons.
Look, you restrain yourself.
I'm anonymous, maybe, because they're kind of big. I don't know, maybe. That's internet speak.
I don't even know.
Okay, well, yeah, let's just go with superior, because that's easier for everyone to understand.
Nice. Excellent.
I mean,
this is going to be...
Just as long as Rob Robinson can get superior, then that's fine. I'm pretty sure Merck McNasty gets it that I am, you know, a goon. Okay,
let's just go. A goon. Will this be something that Urban Dictionary will help me out with? Because I need to know.
Okay. Let me break it down for you. A goon is someone who is the muscle of the group.
So
Merck McNasty is the brains, and I am the goon.
Well, according to Urban Dictionary, a goon is generally slow-witted or goofy, also of either poor quality in character, dress, or personality.
Well, yeah. You did already. Yeah, it was the brain. So,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So you're the Hoosier, the redneck, the.
I am from Alberta.
Hoosier? You mean a hoser?
Oh, yes, he's a hoser. There we go.
Take off, eh?
Don't do that. I don't want to laugh the whole time. So you would be like the Tony Twist of Grade A Nastiness. That's about the extent of my hockey knowledge is Brett Hull and Tony Twist, so you'll have to take that.
Oh god, hockey.
So now let's alright. So you're going into the biggest match of your career. That would be fair to say. No.
I wouldn't say biggest, because biggest would have had to have been the first time I won the title. This would have to be the second biggest.
What title are you talking about?
The PWA World Party, the first time I won it?
What is this?
Oh, my God. You were freaking bitch. You were bitching about it, like, not even an hour or two ago in your first, or sorry, second promo.
Uh-huh.
About how I was the champion in the weakest incarnation. What was it? Oh, no, that was
that
not
was
you.
Not me.
That was Project
Wow,
X.
So...
That was Project
Wow. That's the second time. The second time that you've confused us.
I did that on purpose, you dick. Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Uh-huh. Okay, well... All right, I'm not impressed.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't be impressed. I'm not here to impress you.
No, you really are. It's my show. You are
no,
here to impress
no.
me.
Well, you know what? No, you should be here to impress me, because right now I'm not very
really?
Impressed. I was expecting a little bit more. I love hearing the show. I love listening to it. But, you know, I'm not impressed right now.
Cirque is impressed.
He's a nasty knight.
Cirque is impressed. So.
I'm impressed with Cirque. I'm impressed with Cirque.
Loves our show and the benefits.
Yes. Now. Okay. So anyway, so it would be fair to say though that you are definitely out of all the six participants, you would be the underdog. Would that not be fair?
Yeah. I would say that. I would say that I am definitely the underdog. I have no problem admitting that because most of these men have already been in Elimination Chamber. I mean, like. Well, Rob, you know, your fiance, whatever. You can you confirm that for me that you have actually been in an Elimination Chamber match?
It's likely. I don't necessarily recall, but I had a few bad years. So
Have you been in anything relatively close to a cage? Sorry.
I'm sorry, I've been in learning. I was in that historic Hell in the Cell match at Genesis with Razor.
Okay, so then you technically you have
been
in a cage before.
Definitely.
Yeah, so technically, yes, and I would admit that everyone else has been in the same sort of situation. I've never...
But, Rob, haven't you gotten the point yet? The whole point of Great Anastasis is we have no problem admitting that we're the underdogs and we still manage to come out on top.
That's not what you do at all. You talk about how you're the greatest Eric Connell champion in the history of the PWA. That's not the underdog.
Well, duh, but I mean, it's not my fault.
Sorry. No, I was gonna say when the better half of the Great A and Nastiness is around, he likes to talk about that. It's it's fun. I don't care. He can have his moment in the spotlight. It's cool. I'm allowed to have mine. He can have his. And if he wants to talk when he's on solo about himself, I mean, I don't expect him to talk about me.
Oh, okay.
He can talk about Great A and Nastiness all he wants.
So yeah. See.
All right.
Yes.
I think they're just meant to be kept private.
Now, seeing as how.
Yeah. What you do in your own time is not my business.
All right. Seeing as how you are the underdog,
yes.
What's your strategy going into the match?
Oh, God. Strategy. Holy crap. I'm thinking I'm going to roll 20s and possibly get the last man in the match. That's all I can say right now, because honestly...
Wow.
My whole strategy, as you put it, is... staying the hell away from Project X, staying the hell away from Razor, staying the hell away from Corey Lazarus, maybe sticking to Cyrus for a bit, and, well, you know, sending Robin, sorry, not Robinson, Phoenix home a little bit early. You know, I mean, I've done it before. I can do it again.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. I'm so not convinced. Now, really, so you think that you can just manhandle Cyrus Morin, probably the most decorated champion in the history of the PWA?
Oh, please, decorated? Like, oh my God. Okay, I may not be the best champion, whatever, but this guy, he makes it look like a joke. He carries a bear around, and he talks to himself, and he wears a freaking kimono like Star Trek. You want to talk about embarrassments to the world title? Project X was better than him.
I thought that was typical Canadian behavior.
No, typical Canadian behavior is as normal as American behavior, except we talk like this, eh? We talk like this, we drink beer, we eat pancakes all the time, and we also have our, retarded cousin natives that talk like this, and we're like, hey, do you got some Listerine for me so I can get some drunk?
How about the losers, eh?
I see.
I went off on a little tangent there, but, Cyrus isn't the most decorated champion.
He's
definitely...
Cyrus Morin has held more gold for more time than anybody. Oh.
You know what's funny is, why is he holding that gold now? Why is he, if he's so great, how come he's not holding it? How come he's lost the title so many times?
And you know, Rob, the more titles you win, the more titles you lost.
That's true. Now, Cyrus has not actually gotten a world title match in this incarnation of the PWA. Actually, this McNasty and I talk about a lot. A lot of undeserving people get title shots. The Razor Dolls are perfect examples. Fire is an even better example. Somebody that, you know, lost.
And Phoenix is the.
Well, Phoenix has had no title matches. None.
Yeah, but why should you get one?
Okay, you know what?
Look, yeah?
Phoenix was supposed to have a title match. If he had one, who's the man?
All right,
had Corey Lazarus not beat him.
Yeah, for the fourth episode in a row, that was a fast count. And we've gone over this. Joe Boxer knows.
The ref always counts fast. It's never the wrestler's ability.
Now listen, if you go back to the show archive, you listen to episode 2 with President Chameleon, he admits it was a fast count. If you listen to last week's show with Commissioner Joe Boxer, he admits it was a fast count. The whole world knows at this point it was a fast count. And
I missed out on that part. I don't think these imaginary confirmations by
Well, then go back to the archives. That's all I can tell you. They're all. Wait a minute.
Okay.
They're all available at PWApodcast@citadel7.com.
Pitching.
All right, now for your little promo there. What I gotta say about the present community, he's like to say a lot of things that piss people off. Of course, him saying that there was a fast ref count. Obviously pissed the ref off.
Where's the benefit in pissing off the ref?
There's none.
Right? Yes.
Where's the benefit in pissing off the ref? Fast count, buddy. Ooh. If he says it was a fast count, and if Joe Boxer says it was a fast count, you know what? To the whole world, it was 1, 2, 3.
Wait, there we go. All right.
It wasn't 1, 2, 3. It wasn't
there we got it.
1, Mississippi,
Alex, just
2, Mississippi,
fact,
3,
let's
Mississippi.
Move on. We need to talk about you. We're not here to talk about me. I've got the final segment to talk about me.
No. You know what? I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this right now. It was not a fast count. Corey Lazarus is just better than you.
Your phone's not ready to break off, is it? Because it sounds like it might be ready to drop off.
All right, you know what? Okay, fine. Let's move on.
Excellent. So, all right. So now that we've covered the fact that it was a fast count, let's talk about your match. You've got five of the biggest names, and I will admit that Corey Lazarus is one of the biggest names in the PWA right now.
Yeah, I can agree.
Because of my feud with him. I elevated him to that next level. Now, we're not here to discuss Corey Lazarus, so we're going to move on. What we're going to talk about is, you got Corey Lazarus, you got the Phoenix, Chris Morin, Project X, and Razor, who... nobody hates Razor more than me. I've been leading the chart. No, it's not debatable. I've known him for longer than anybody, so I hate him more than anybody. Now... I've also been the one leading the charge saying that he does not deserve that title belt that he has, that gave him three chances to win, and his brother restarting the match, you know, and all this kind of crap.
All right, here's something that we can actually agree on, because I have been hounding Chameleon about this forever. I have been on down his neck about him giving Razor the title match. No, sorry, was it him or Joe Boxer?
Both of them.
It might have been both.
Well, Chameleon did.
Chameleon was responsible for Razor.
No.
Last minute being put into the match.
Yes, it was last minute, but... Okay, here's something, okay, that I don't like Chameleon all that much, but he did explain... Erica Engel.
Uh-huh.
Erica? Okay, so we call her Erica Engel. She got put through the ring. I have not seen anyone live through that yet. And she apparently has... And, well, who else to fill the shoes? I mean, I already had my match. I deserve a title shot, but I've already had my match, which I won, by the way. Mark McNasty already had his match. He was next in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which Mark McNasty won.
Okay, so here's my question for you. So that means the card could have been changed. The card could have been changed around, and instead they give the title shot to a semi-retired wrestler?
Razor was the only person available. As much as I hate to say it, as much as they could have easily called me, and told me, hey, Alex, you want to wrestle for two matches in a row? I should have said, fuck yeah, I would have done that. But, you know, like, he was the only one available at the time. And, I see they don't want to double book people, so there you have it. I mean, I can agree that, yes, as much as we must hate Chameleon, as much as we must dislike Boxer for telling us, oh, yeah, Razor is in this match because no one else can go in there, and he's the only one that can do it, and we're going to restart it three times so we can get the belt off Project X. Yeah, as much as we hate that, it's the only way that could have been done, unless you want to have Project X get the month off, or, sorry, night off.
Dude, buddy, seriously. I mean, come on. Even if there isn't a quote-unquote excuse as to why Razor got put in the match, there's still hardly an excuse for, hey, I don't like that ending. Let's restart. Oh, wait. No, that one sucks, too. Started back over. Yeah, we were just kidding. Mulligan, yeah.
We could, yeah, easily, like, anyone can get mad at that. I mean, honestly, I was stupid enough to give the freaking first key to Project X. Of course, I was a little bit, nervous myself or paranoid that I was going to get, like, the TV title. I don't want that. And Gabe Shelley can have that. And, Gabe Shelley can have that, and he left, so I don't really care what he does. But, honestly, we had to get that title off of the lottery champion as soon as possible, because she was a joke.
What?
Project X was a joke.
You know what?
Well, Razor now at least is defending it, at least.
What?
I mean, even though he must have won it three times. I mean, I haven't heard one complaint from him about being in this Elimination Chamber match. He could have just said, no, give me...
Totally defending against Kyle Stevenson, that's a real show of talent.
yeah, that is true.
And besides that...
Considering the fact that everyone beat that child, so...
Yeah, and besides that, he had no choice in the matter. This is, remember, Revolutions Per Minute is not Chameleon's show. This is Joe Boxer's show, so Chameleon has no say.
Exactly. If Boxer wants to go ahead and restart the Elimination Chamber three times, I will have no problem getting back in the cage and showing who's boss. But you know what? If, like, since Chameleon had pretty much full control over who's the man, that's why he did it. That's why he had the power to. Chameleon, I'm pretty sure, hates Project X's guts. I'm pretty sure Project X hates Chameleon, and that's why he did it. It wasn't to get the belt, it was more along the lines of to get the belt off of Project X to Honda Razor because Chameleon hates him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
You know what? This summed up one quick sentence. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So, in all honesty, as much as I hate to say it, Razor got the belt fairly because he got the pin, not because Chameleon said, ring the bell, he's in a submission, ring the bell, he tapped. I mean, had that happened, I'm pretty sure there would have been a complete freaking uproar from the backstage. But that's... He got it fair and square.
Well, no, actually, it wasn't fair and square because he won the title after he hit Project X with a chair and knocked him out and got disqualified. But, all right, let's not talk about that.
Okay, yeah, no, let's move on because I'm starting to get sick of talking about Razor. He's making me want to puke.
So... And actually, the fun thing about this match is, for Razor to retain his title, Razor has to beat five men. Right?
They can't all be fast counts, Rob.
Hey, I think, what happened to our special guest here? Is he gone? Is
he He must have been mobbed by those crazy fans in the background.
I guess so. I don't know what happened to him. But anyways, I was saying that for Razor to win this match, he's got to beat five men, you know. Whereas for somebody else to win the title, all you have to do is pin one person. So it's definitely not.
It's not exactly that Razor has to beat five men. It's that Razor has to survive. And as I think we've learned, Razor's good at surviving. He doesn't necessarily have to win, Rob. He just has to outlast other people.
Well, that's.
And I think we both know that Razor is pretty good at outlasting people since he's been around for God knows how long.
That's a good point. I'll tell you what, let's take a real quick break, see if we can get our guest back on the line here, and we'll be back here in just a moment.
Sorry for the interruption. We were experiencing technical difficulties.
All All right, we've fixed our technical difficulties here, and that means technical difficulty music. I'm glad that happened now.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yes, we've got Great A. Alex Wilkie back here online. What I was saying before you left is the fact that Razor's got to beat 5 men, and then of course McNasty corrected me, by saying that he's got to survive 5 men, whereas you or I only have to beat 1 man, you know, to walk out with title. So it's definitely, I find it very difficult to believe that there's going to be the same champion come Monday morning.
If you've ever watched an Elimination Chamber, you have to realize that you have to be the last man in there. We don't have to beat just 1 man.
Exactly.
We have to. If we're the first one in there, we have to beat those 5 other men. If we're the last one in there, we could beat.
That depends. Because
this is exactly my point. You don't have to beat 5 men. You're the first one in there, you outlast. You survive. That's all you don't have to do. The guy who wins, he could hide in the corner for an hour if everyone else was stupid enough not to attack him. But
right.
Regardless, it's
but,
the same
but there's no way.
There and not doing anything. All you have to do is survive.
But there's no there's no way that people are going to just leave Razor alone. I guarantee he's going into this match with a target back, and everybody's going for him. So
honestly, I believe that as much as we have to outlast, as you say, yes, if we're the first one in there, we have to outlast. We have to outwit. We have to survive the whole entirety of the match. Doesn't matter how long it is, because. Of course, you know, our match could go forever, and we could still wind up with still 3 people or 2 people in the cage fighting it out. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, obviously, you're wanting the world title. That's what everybody wants, except Mark McNasty, who has been really campaigning hard to get a tag team title shot. So, how does that really line up with, the goals of Great A. Nastiness if you're the world champion, especially due to the fact that Chameleon, you know, is reluctant to put single title holders, in positions to win the tag team titles.
Well, honestly, I hate to say it, but I really don't like people who hold more than 2 titles
right.
at one time. And I held the Grizzly Bear title for about a month and a half or 2 months almost, I think. And Mark Menasky, he's had his Intercontinental title forever.
It's essentially skid more and more every day.
Yeah. since he's gotten it, he's held it, and he's defended it. But even Chameleon has said to both of us, if there is a chance that McNasty does not have his title at the end of Revolution per Minute, he would set us up for a tag team title match. But if I walk out of the Elimination Chamber with the world title around my waist, then we will be pretty much screwed out of the whole tag team title. I mean, I don't doubt that Mark McNasty can not hold his Intercontinental title, but you also can't doubt the fact that I could be walking out of there with the world title as well.
Plus, with the way Joe Boxer's been talking lately, and the way we know those guys both love money, if you did walk out world champ and I walked out without the IC title, I wouldn't put it past them trying to book us as the main event for the next pay-per-view.
That's the problem, Steve, because the winner of the Rumble in the Bronx will be in the next pay-per-view. I was told that by Chameleon. He said to all of us, actually, that, you know, you guys are going to be in this match with the Rumble and the Bronx winner if you guys win the pay-per-view. And, sorry, I dropped my microphone. If you guys win, you're going to the Rumble and the Bronx, and that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be another, Elimination Chamber match where the winner of the Who's Man Corey Lazarus got into the Elimination Chamber match and all that, and it's just going to be one-on-one. I don't think they're going to mess anything up like that. Sorry to correct you there, Mark.
Well, maybe they'll just go up to the Rampage after the pay-per-view. Who knows?
Well, who knows, honestly.
I don't even think Chameleon knows, to be quite honest. Now, you guys have been a tag team.
Isn't he getting sacked? Chameleon, isn't he getting sacked sooner or later?
We can only hope. Now, you guys have been a tag team for a little while now.
A little bit. I think it's fair to say, since forever, but since PWA started, at least.
Would you find it fair to say that you end up doing most of the heavy lifting in that match?
Okay, wait. Do you mean which match? Do you mean the tag matches we're in?
Or do you mean the guy that does most of the work for the team? I think you are.
Honestly, I think that I would be the one who does about half the work. Mark does another half of the work. It's not just me in there doing it, and Mark Manessi, you know, shaking pom-poms around on the outside of the ring, although that would be hilarious.
I mean, there's no shame in
admitting this, because I know that I do more than half of the work on the radio show here. So, judging from that experience, I'm positive you have to do more than McNasty.
He lives in his own world, Wilkie.
I don't think I haven't noticed that yet. I mean, anyway, no, really, I think that we both do the same amount of work, whether it's if I get the pin, he does, like, if he does a finisher and I get the pin, or if I do a finisher and I get the pin, or, you know, vice versa and all that, it's really the team effort. We never do more work than the other. It's always both of us, you know, doing both the work. I mean, in a match like where no one's ever worked together, such as the match that we won. Hang on.
Project X and Phoenix. No, I think you remember that one, Rob.
We went over this.
Yeah, the one where we beat Corey Lazarus and Potato. Oh no, it was Jacob Collins and Potato, and it was not the Virus Angle. And what was it? Who was the other guy that was in that match? Was it Frost?
Hey, whatever Collins happened to those guys? Whatever happened to Potato and Collins?
Right. Potato, I'm not sure. I think he got injured. And Collins is just
now.
Nice.
I think Potato sells soup now.
No. Potato is helping Casey Campbell sell soup. Remember, Mark? Casey Campbell is the one selling the soup.
Oh, right.
That's how it's always been.
Advertising KC's soup, right.
Yeah, that's how it's always been. That's how it's always going to be. Soup man. Anyway. Sorry, Rob. You probably wouldn't know Rob, but, KC. I keep mixing up with somebody. I don't know. You guys got too many personalities. But, as it would be, yes, we both did the same amount of work as everybody. I mean, as anyone in that match, and we ended up, we did our teamwork, and same amount of work that we do, we ended up winning.
All right.
So, teamwork, okay, not just one of us doing work there.
Summed up, Rob, to a chair can't stand with a bad leg, just like a tag team that can't work together can't win.
All right, you know what? This is like talking to a bunch of Girl Scouts, so we're going to take a quick break. All right, before we go to a break, do you have anything else to say that isn't just disgustingly, like, sweet and sickening?
Me?
Yeah.
Something disgusting, speaking. What do you think I have to say?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking, because I'm tired.
Circus hot. That's all I have to say.
Okay, because
circus hot.
I'm getting tired of listening to you blow McNasty. So if you don't have anything else to say, then we're going to take a break and come back. Is that all right?
Gooey, 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 mushy, mushy.
Okay, we're definitely going to go and take a break right now, and I'm going to go take a nice long hot shower and try to get the filth off of me. I feel so good.
No matter how hard you scrub, it just
never
doesn't come off.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. So, please enjoy the super extended version of Inagata De Vita, and we will be back after that.
Times have changed! Our kids are getting worse! They won't obey their parents, they just want to fight and curse!
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No! Blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
With all their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies!
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
We need to form a full assault!
It's hate is false!
Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the Klan! My boy Eric once had my picture on his shelf, but now when I see him, he tells me to fuck myself.
Well, blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches?
Should we blame the fire?
Or the doctors who allowed it to expire?
Heck no!
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
With all the hockey hullabaloo
and that pitch on Murray, too.
Blame Canada! Shame on Canada!
All right, hope you enjoyed the Iron Butterfly there. We are back with our special guest. What the hell's your name? Special guest.
Alex Wilkie.
Your name's Alex Wilkie?
My name is Alex Wilkie.
Now here's the thing. You know, here's the problem with that, Alex, is the fact that someday, at some point, somebody's going to Google your name, and they're going to come across this, and it might be a girl.
Yeah, that might happen, but then again, they'll also come across Googling my name and coming across Alex Wilkie's Mixed Martial Arts
oh, nice.
Fighting School and Alex Wilkie's Math School. It's awesome.
That, right.
I Googled my name before.
Okay, so your name is actually Alex Wilkie. All right, fantastic.
Yeah.
And we got, of course, I'm Rob, and we've got Brandon.
You remember my name this week,
Rob? I sure do, Brandon. Yes, I'm aware.
Kyle.
It's more fun to call you Brandon, though. Brandon the Beat Jones.
Dude, you sound like high school girls trying to, like, flirt with me.
Yeah, that's what
it's fun to call you Brandon. More fun.
Okay, so...
Well, it's not any worse than when they would call me Brandy, but whatever works.
All right, so I'm going to go take another shower, and then we will come back. Okay, so...
No more showers.
So, how did you get into the e-fetting here, Alex?
Oh, well, I was talking to this kid who ran a backyard wrestling federation in the States. And we were just talking, we were swapping ideas back and forth about what we could do to get one started. And he showed me this site that had a link to the, it was UWW, or United Wrestling. What?
It wasn't UWW.
I don't know. It wasn't UWF, it was UWW. I'm going to let that phone call go to a message. But no, I honestly, it was just a click of the link, and I went there, and I was like, e-fetting, huh? The role play, and at this point, role playing to me was going on a chat site and role playing out your characters and scoring what they want to do and saying, okay, well, I don't know, Archmage, fire thrower, you know, tosses fire to this person and this person falls down. That was my idea of RPing, and that's what I thought it was. But up until this, like at this point, I was talking to the guy who owned it, which was Mr. Showtime, and if you remember, Mr. Showtime used to be the husband or on-character husband of Fire. I'm never really sure for actual name, but
I believe they actually were together for a while.
They actually were, but I don't want to get into that because it's kind of a touchy ground for some people.
Yeah.
So I get into this, and I'm talking to Mr. Showtime. I said, "So hey, do we have like a chat room? Then we go and role play this out, and whoever you think was the best role player, you know, you pick who they win, and you take whatever they role played out, and then post it as a match." He said, no, you write out what you want as a promo, and then you write it out as a promo, and then you go and you post it, and we'll pick the best, and we'll put you in. So I was like, okay, well, this is all new to me, so I'll try my best. And then I decided, well, up in, like, at this time, I thought that promos were only done in the ring or outside of the ring in the backstage at house shows or at the actual show. And nobody does that anymore because it's such a cliche, but
That's how Mr. Canadian was born.
This is how Mr. Canadian was born because I, at this point, had no idea who I wanted to be. And I was figuring, well, I really like the idea of a superhero who kind of sounds like Macho Man Randy Savage. So I took Charlie Haas, and I just threw his pick base because I liked him at the time, and I said, okay, well, this is my name. It's Mr. Canadian. It's my in-ring name. I come out, I'm wearing a Canadian cape, and I come out with I come out with the Canadian anthem playing on, and then it cuts to a heavy metal rock song, and I'm like a superhero and a Macho Man Randy Savage and all these people, and I'm just like, I just got this big ego going on. And of course, my first match was a triple threat match against people who had been in there for about a month now, and no one showed up. So of course, I'm over the moon. I've won. I'm ready to see how kick-ass I am in this match. And no, the match doesn't happen. Mr. Showtime comes out, super kicks me, and lays the American flag on me. That's how Mr. Canadian was born. And I just stuck with that until I went to BWF, and I decided to create Alex's brother, which was a long-lost brother, and decided to
be... Andrew?
You know, it was Xavier. It was Xavier Wilkie. Xavier, and he,
that's right.
Used the pick base of one of the members from Slipknot, and he was real vicious, and he was undefeated for the time he was in there, and I didn't even try with him. I just, like, well, this is what he's going to say, and post it. I don't care. He's just a jobber anyway for now. He's just my tag partner. And then this guy named Casey Campbell came along. And this guy, I could not stand him, because he was, all he did in his RPs would bash Canadians the whole time. So I got real pissed off, and I'm like, I want my tag match against him. I want a tag match against him and his partner, and we're going to go at it, and we're just going to beat the fucking hell out of each other. Sorry for swearing. I don't know if we're allowed to swear in here.
And let me give you some idea of this match. This match, which was so funny, was Wilkie and Xavier versus Casey Campbell, the Soup Man, and John Belushi as the Blues Brother, who he called the Soul Man.
And their tag team was called Soup and Soul at the time. And my stable at the time, because I had a valet named Cindy Fantasy, who kind of sounds like a porno actor, and she was the one who spearheaded the whole women's champion idea for BWF, which I never really RP'd for her, and I ended up losing. So it's fine, but so Partners in Crime and Soup and Soul are going at it, and I think it was Casey Campbell made Xavier tap while I pinned the Soul Man right after I hit my stunner, and we ended up having to combine our forces together to be like, we're gonna go for number one contendership for the tag titles. So we combined, went for the tag titles, and thus the Partners in Crime with Casey Campbell, Alex Wilkie, Cindy Fantasy, Xavier Wilkie, Soul Man, and another guy who was supposed to be the Ultimate Warrior ripoff.
Incredible Floyd.
The Incredible Floyd. Oh God, that guy was terrible. I'm sorry, but sorry.
Weird note. I was actually the second incarnation of Incredible Floyd.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, I was that mystery guy when he showed up again and started haunting Casey.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. So we got Partners in Crime, and Cody Clark comes up with this we had this wrestling move, which was called the Can-Am Connection, which was Canadian-American. It was this old tag team name back from, like, the 80s. And so we used that as our finisher name, which was basically the, you know, the Dudley Boys move, where one guy goes for the back body drop and the other guy stuns him? I think. The 3D, basically. I'm not sure. It was the 3D, I know. But, so we used that, and then we decided to go with Can-Am Connection, because it sounded a lot better than Partners in Crime. And that's, basically, that was my whole first year in the BWF in wrestling. So, that's how I got into E-Setting, as long as the story it is.
What year was that you started everything?
Oh, man, that was, that was back in 2005, 2004, just the beginning of 2004, I think. Or around the summer of 2004.
Okay.
Because then, for that summer, I was in UWW, and then I went to BWF in September. And then went on that for a year until I had a hissy fit and left, because Dave Blazingwing kept booking me on the B show. Yeah, that would basically be the whole premise of why I left and decided to go make my own E-Fed. Failed. Came back, left again, went to Cody Clark's Fed, left his Fed, went to another Fed. I was jumping all over the place.
Okay.
It was quite the feat, to jump that many freaking feds in 1 month.
So how the hell did you end up with Kyle here?
After Can-Am Connection broke up, it was a very big fight. I cheated on Casey. Okay, no, I was trying to make a sexual joke, but it actually sounds like an actual story. But no, what happened was, we lost the tag team titles. I blamed Casey. I stunned Casey, and I came back as the greatest Canadian wrestler known to mankind today, Great A. Alex Wilkie, which was, because I use this as a fact because at the time I had been getting honors in school, so I was like, oh, well, you know what, I'm pretty fucking smart, so I'm just going to be like, oh, this is Great A. And that's how I've been sticking with Great A for a while, and so I had gone in, and at WrestleFest 4 or 5, I'm not entirely sure which one it was, I had gone in to a U.S. title match with Nick Toretto, who was some ladies' handler, and I lost that match, and I went into another match, and I had been up against, I think it was Mark McNasty, because at one point, one guy had won the title, and I got pissed, because Nick Toretto didn't show up, and I got pissed because why didn't he show up, and blah, 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 and how come you can do that for me, and then I think Mark McNasty won it. And so the next pay-per-view, this was the most stupidest idea for a setup. I spilled coffee on Mark.
I remember and that.
And thus, I got the number one contendership for the U.S. title. Casey became the special guest referee for that, and I think the whole reason I lost was because he speared me and Mark went for the pin. And I just got real pissed off. I gave up, and I was like, I'm not going to win. Doesn't matter to me anymore. So I just left. Came back, and me, Casey, and Mark had another match, which was a triple threat match. And this was when BWF first started. He beat me again, went on to be undefeated, and I, of course, was like, oh, I got to stay in the freaking mid-ranks now. And goddamn phone. Hang on. Can you go to break or something? Because I got to answer this, because this person's been calling for like the past 10 minutes now, on and off. So let's just go to break, and we'll be back, and I'll continue the story of how I met Mark, McNasty, and Kyle. All right. Let's go to break. I'm Phoenix. I'm Rob Robinson. I own TWA Radio now. Yay! You should.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are we on break now? All right, I'll be right back.
That sounded nothing like me.
Ontario.
I got a pretty good Alex Wilkie, though. It's all like, hey, I'm a great big hoser, eh? You like that?
Oh, God.
UWA Radio! I'm Rob Robinson! Yay. I feel special now.
Special's a good word.
Yeah, you missed out on my my Alex Wilkie, but alright, so what the hell? Oh yeah, how you hooked up?
Oh yeah, how I met Mark. Okay, so
Buttercup here
with the whole PWO is closing because Mark was having a hissy fit. He can't run it, blah blah blah, and everyone's getting pissed off at Blazing because he's putting himself in matches. So we just Chameleon decided to reopen PWA because he was not happy with the way things were being run. He wanted to have his own control of what was going on. He wanted to be fair and all that jazz. And so Chameleon comes to me on MSN. He's like, hey man, I'm opening up PWA. Do you want to help out? And I was like, well, sure. What do you want me to do? He's like, well, I need you to come on over to the forums. If you don't want to be in PWA, you don't have to be, but I just want some people to come over and post and, you know, be buddy-buddy with each other. And so I said, all right, fine. And I came over and I figured, you know, well, how is he going to get it off the ground? Who's he going to call? He's not going to bring people over from BWS because they're already in that. And so he ended up doing that. He ended up getting pretty much everybody from the BWF to come over to PWA. And
is the BWF club?
It died in December.
It died very horribly. I thought it was hilarious. Whenever I think about that, I laugh, honestly, the way it died. Because someone got angry, took their ball, and went home. That's how it happened. And of course, everyone goes over to BWF. Everyone goes over to PWA, sorry. And I finally decided that I already have like Kyle on my Yahoo. Might as well add him to my MSN because I'm never on Yahoo. And so I'm talking to him, and we started to come up with these weird-ass names for like a tag team, I think. We were starting to come up with ideas about how it would be so cool if Alex Wilkie and like Mark McNasty, two former members of BWF, came over and like won the tag titles right out from under like everyone's noses. And so we thought that was a pretty cool idea, and we stuck with it. We talked to Chameleon about getting this match started up, and eventually it happened. I mean, I'm pretty sure Mark already went all over the film, just repeating history, but it was basically Greater Nastiness is going to come out, so we came out of Greater Nastiness, and it just stuck like that. I never actually came up with the name. I can't even remember. I thought my name was, the name that I came up with was, Fuzzy Pink Bunny Slippers. How bad would that be if you lost the Fuzzy Pink Bunny Slippers?
That would be, well, no worse than losing to, like, Riona Langley or fucking Erica Engel, but okay.
Yeah,
Enika
Engel. Alrighty, but yeah, so that's basically how I met Kyle in that whole bit, and ended up meeting a bunch of people at the time, so. Recently I just talked to Project X for the first time, and he told me about Earl Grey muffins. They're I have not tried them, but I want to try them now, because Earl Grey tea is delicious.
Alright. You got any questions there, Big Nasty?
Any out-of-character questions?
Yeah.
What are you doing tonight?
Nice.
I'm going to sit at home with a big bucket of bed and chairs and watch Battlestar Galactica. Ooh.
Woo, beats fried chicken.
If you ever thought what Tim Curry sounds like in real life, after he's just done the Rocky Horror Picture Show, that's it. Exactly it.
I will tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, movie. And we will come back the always popular five questions.
We're all living in America. America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America. America, America. We're all living in America. America, it's wunderbar. We're all living in America.
All right, guys, we are back. It's time for the five questions with Grade A, Alex Wilkie. God, that's just hilarious. All right, Alex, what is your favorite gimmick match?
Favorite gimmick match. I would honestly have to say that my favorite gimmick match would have to be a electrified ring rope match. Okay, don't get me wrong. I've seen every single gimmick match done, and it's always done to death. The Elimination Chamber, the Hell in a Cell, cage match, it's always been done. Of course, they're all cages and stuff. And you never see anybody anymore with the whole, I'm going to freaking throw you into the ring ropes, you're going to get electrified, you're going to come back and get a clothesline. Like that.
I think there's a reason for that.
I think there's a hilarious reason for that, and you don't know how funny it would be to watch someone do that. Because I have. I have watched a match like that. It is freaking hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean in like desetting. I mean in like real life.
Okay.
Japanese wrestling.
Yo, yeah, they'll do anything over there.
Oh yeah, Toronto's in a tank with flaming.
Who is your favorite opponent here in the PWA, or just in general? I guess it doesn't have to be PWA.
In general, my favorite opponent would actually have to be Psycho Sandra. Only because in that 1 week that we wrestled that one time, the last week of the Keys to Glory match, she pushed me to the freaking limits. My hands, I had to wear braces on my hands, not like literally, but I was my hands after like I don't know the last one that I wrote, my hands were literally like shaking just a bit because I had to type so fast because I don't have much time to get this stuff done. So She just pushed me to the limit, and that's what got me into the whole, you know what, I'm not going to win if I don't write more than, like, if I don't write more than 4 pages. And I know that much because you can't look at a quality RP, role-playing, I'm just talking in MSN lingo, you can't look at a quality role-play that's 1 page long and go, okay, this person said this amount to this person's, like, this page is up awesome. So I just say that she's my favorite because she brought the best out in what I had, and I never thought that I could do any of that. So
yeah.
See, I think I disagree with you though. I don't think that length of role plays, or maybe I misunderstood what you said, but I don't think that length of role plays dictate quality of role plays.
Oh, okay, yeah, I thought he was saying that too, Rob. Like, because you know, whole, yeah.
It's all quality, not quantity thing. I understand that too, but I believe that. You can't have a quality roleplay that's 1 page because if you wanted to shoot, that's fine. But I believe shoots should be held for the show personally, and the whole like story. Here's the opening. This is the setup. This is the scene. This is where this person is. You know, you can imagine what he or she is doing, what their emotion is like, and how they're talking. Like, if you have that in, and all, like, the description, all the, like, what they want to say, you can't do that in 1 page.
Well, see, now, I'm going to, I've gone over this on the show before, but I enjoy talking about this, so I'm going to keep talking.
Okay.
I tend to disagree with that, because I'm, as anybody that's read my RPs know, I'm myself the opposite of Dustin, because I don't like a lot of setup. You know, like, Dustin writes a whole RP of setup, and then you got to click a link and go to the actual RP.
Whereas
I like a paragraph, you know, maybe two if I've got, you know, something important that needs to be said, but, you know, that will just spell out real quick where the guy's at, you know, and any maybe important facts, like if he's dressed funny or drinking a Yoo-Hoo or whatever. And then I like to get right to the meat and potatoes of the role play. So I definitely think, you know, that whenever I judge stuff, or in the past when I judge stuff, the setup wasn't as important to me as, you know, what the wrestler was saying, because to me,
where they are isn't always necessarily the most thing. I mean, like, when you did that whole Rob is passed out in the office and you just, all you said was Yoo-Hoo bottles everywhere, that was hysterical. That was enough. We didn't need to know much more because it set up who he was and what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, to me, the story is a lot. The story, I like to read like RPs that have stories in them or have like a little bit of like a character development. It might not be everything. I've noticed a lot that if you're going to talk to your mother, if you're going to talk to your girlfriend about stuff that's going on with your family, that doesn't necessarily like, you know, converse well over with the match, unless the problem with your family has to do with the match. But
like a Project X RP.
Like a Project X RP. Like, okay, the one thing I hate about Project X is that he has to have the weirdest freaking RPs. Like this, like this week it was an Inconvenient Truth for me, but she did the theme for me. Last week he decided to do, he was in a corn irrigation center talking to a metrosexual man, and I'm like, there are just some things that are sacred with this man. And I happen to like the Inconvenient Truth. I happen to enjoy
that.
Well,
Rob was talking about how he's like from the crazy Kill You Ireland.
That's
so
true.
Maybe
he is from I'll
that.
Fuck You Up Ireland.
That might be.
I think you can tell the story and do the character development in little things in the, well, like, I mean, I'll use myself as an example. I think that if people have been reading my role plays over the last few weeks, that they'll pick up on like the return of the Yoo-hoo and the, you know, gradual, you know, it's like little clues, just, you know, where I'll talk about like Robinson was on vacation for the first RP for the Revolutions Per Minute, and he had like a whole fucking like cooler full of Yoo-hoo, you know, where he's not just drinking one, he's back off the wagon. But I don't need to spell that out in detail. I'll let people pick that up as they read.
But of course, like the whole, like of course, like the quality of the role play also has to derive to the what the character is saying as well, but what the character or what the handler has done to make it interesting. I mean, because I can understand, like, you know, yeah, you don't have time or you don't want to do a whole bunch of stuff, so you just want to write a shoot, but two pages of what you want to say. It doesn't have to be anything else, just that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But it's just that when people write one page and it's, this is what I have to say, this is why it's true, and then you're done. I mean, it may be quick, but I'm not convinced at all that this guy wants the win or, you know. Like, okay, I won't use Felix, for example, because you actually do a lot of stuff. But Helix, when he first started role-playing, that was his format, and it was very, very hard to believe that he wanted to win as much as Odyssey did.
But you know what, though, dude? That doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, if you want to talk about Helix, I don't know about the guy, but it didn't look like he's had that much experience. Maybe he has. I don't know. Some people go in slumps. But when you just start out, you don't know how to elaborate. I mean, you're one to talk. Remember the Mr. Canadian RPs when you showed up?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
See, that's
I think
not exactly fair,
I definitely
because you don't
it's...
know what kind of quality guys used to turning out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's definitely all about what's being said. You know, I mean, like, yeah, I think if you leave out, like, the description entirely, which I don't think is the way to do it, but, you know, everybody's different. But if they can write one page, or even a half a page, because I've seen, like, an RP that, no joke, was, like, two paragraphs long, and it was easily better than, you know, somebody that had written, like, two pages, because it was very short, very to the point, but the way the guy wrote it, it was very believable. You know, like, the guy wouldn't have... It was Rage way back in the day. And he was feuding with somebody and hated... It was well established that they hated each other. And, you know, Rage, you know, the character wouldn't have gone on for 10 minutes about how much he hates this guy. He would have been very short to the point, you know, I hate this guy. He you know, he killed my family. I'm going to murder him. You know, and that's all that, you know, that wasn't exactly it, but you get the idea. That's all that needed to be said.
Yeah, of course, but I mean, in something like, well, I mean, all the Keys to the Glory matches, they were pretty much all title matches. So, I mean, you had to basically prove why you wanted to keep this, key or this title or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't believe, not Helix Society, because we really don't know, but I wouldn't believe that someone who wrote like two paragraphs, I wouldn't believe that they really cared as much as the person who had very original content, very, yes, maybe not as straight to the point as it could have been, but just original content, nothing paraphrased, everything was all like new insults, you didn't hear those before, maybe, yeah, but I mean, like, if it was like, I don't know, just a regular match and they were just shooting at each other, and I guess I can see where you're coming from with that. But if it were a title match, in my opinion, I would go with the one that has a little bit more to say, a little bit longer, like maybe they're talking to someone about this match or they're talking to someone about how much they don't like this person,
If I may interject, because it doesn't seem like you two are getting anywhere, it seems like you're both chasing your tails, to be honest and blunt. I mean, as someone with a lot of experience in result writing and judging, as I've stated on here, it can go both ways. Both of you can be right. You can have someone who writes really short or too much, or you can have someone who just BS's around or gets straight to the point but in a dull way. Then you can also have all those types where all they say is repetitive cliches. You know, I'm going to whoop your ass, this is why, you're stupid, you're ugly, good head, so I win.
Well, you know, it all comes down to the skill of the writer.
Exactly.
You know, a good writer can get away with a shorter role.
It's how you convey your stuff. Length honestly does not convey, but I think what Wilkie's trying to get at is long quality beats short quality.
Exactly. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. That's exactly what I was getting at. And I may have been like, you know, beating around the bush a bit, but that's exactly what I meant.
No, I think that in the end it really boils down to how well the writer can convey what they're trying to convey. And you know, I mean, like Hemingway is, you know, a fine writer, but he was the wordiest motherfucker. You know, like he had fucking paragraphs that, you know, huge paragraphs, half a page long, that was a single sentence. And that's, you know, fine, but that's not, you know, I mean, like, two writers of equal skill and equal talent, you know, they could write 10 pages, they could write 3 paragraphs, and if they are good, then, you know, they'll be able to convey what they want to convey in either link that they choose.
I think we lost Wilkie.
Again?
What? No, I'm still here. Okay. I'm still here. No worries. I'm listening intently because I could use this later.
Oh, God.
Okay, so back on track to what we were talking about earlier about the 5 questions is who's my... Because I want to get back on track here because we're kind of getting off on a tangent.
I completely forgot what we're talking about.
Oh, that's...
Honestly.
Well, he said that Psycho Sandro was his favorite opponent. See, I remember.
Oh, okay.
I remember too, thank you. This shouldn't be happening because I'm the goon and Mark McNasty is the brain.
Hey, we're out of character now, okay? So, yeah.
I'm still saying.
No, I do appreciate us getting back on track because I'm fucking hungry. I have not eaten. I came home from work and hopped right on here so I could take care of the PW Radio for all of you fine fans, all the both of you.
Yeah, here. That's how devoted and dedicated we are because, yeah, we loves people.
But yes.
No, actually, don't we just love our own voices, so.
That's true.
We love ourselves, you know. Okay, so moving on. Question, what was it?
Yes,
you're... 3? 2?
Yeah, the third question is, who is your least favorite opponent?
Okay, my least favorite opponent would have to be, everyone knows this because I always bring it up, is carrot soup. That little Asian bastard. Oh my god. Okay, a reason for this, okay, this guy, he does his, you know, he does decent quality role plays.
Okay.
That's fine. But what was said was, he comes on PWA and says, I have a gig at this place, at the set time, I can't roleplay during these 2 times. I'd appreciate it if Wilkie didn't roleplay until I got back. So, what happened was, he put his roleplay first, so it was legal. Not legal, sorry. And I didn't mind, I didn't have much to say because he was beating around the bush with his, and I don't know the guy, so I didn't really have anything to say about him other than cliches. So he comes back. I have this, I don't know, four-page role plays of me talking about him, talking about how he doesn't deserve this title match, how about he fluked his way into the title match. I talked about his matches and how he lost most of them and blah, 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 all this shit. He comes back with this freaking 10-page role play, almost, detailing everything, nitpicking, pulling everything apart, and just freaking demolishing my roleplay. And of course, when I get home, I was working that Thursday, and I get home normally at 10 o'clock, which is way about 2 hours past, or about actually right at deadline, uh-huh. I get off for, so on Chameleon's time, or the board's time, or whatever. And I come home and I see this role play. You can imagine what was going through my head was, I'm going to kill that kid. I start writing up, and then I realize I'm past my freaking deadline. So I'm pissed. I go to Chameleon and I said, this isn't fair. This is like, this shouldn't have happened. He's still like, he did all this, and he's like, nope, still legal, I can't do anything about it. So here I am, and of course, like, to kick him out when he's down, Mark can't write the match, because he said he would, but he can't write it, because he's doing something else. I end up having to write it. So I'm just a little bit pissed off, and I try to make it look as best as I could. Like, I try to make myself look a lot better and get him go off and, you know, be a little loser and win by getting a cradle and basically stealing the win, and Alex freaking out, wanting to kill the ref. What else happened? Oh, yeah, and then you, Vicious...
Yeah, I had to, like, stop you from being the crap out of the ref.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. And then, like, on Chaos, which ended up being on Rampage, which is weird, but on Chaos, Vicious, Phoenix, and Karasu were all supposed to be in a triple threat match. Of course, Phoenix and Vicious freaking demolishing him, writing, like roleplay, or Phoenix roleplays, Vicious roleplays, Phoenix roleplays, Vicious roleplays, Phoenix roleplays, Vicious roleplays. That's what, like, that's all you can read. And then, like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, fucking 12 roleplays? This man cannot write that much, and I go and I look, and it's, of course, it's Karasu beating. Oh my god, they didn't wait for me, and blah 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 blah. And he left in a huff because, again, he didn't get the fair end of the stick this time. And my first reaction was to Chameleon was, is Karasu still in PWA? No. Well, can I have him, please? So you can drop him out for me, please, because I really want this. And he was like, no, I can't, it's off air, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to make Phoenix's match and Vicious match a Grizzly Beard title match, and it's going to be a London's Burning match. I'm like, okay.
How did I end up writing that after ditching your match?
I had no idea.
Okay.
It was, probably. Huh. But what ended up happening was I got really pissed off, and then I decided, well, you know what? He's just a little whiny kid. He's probably 12 years old who has some sort of amazing writing skills, and he just figured that he couldn't handle it, couldn't handle, you know, not being able to write 6 role plays in an hour each after Phoenix and Vicious go after each other. Like, what was it? Like, you guys wrote a role play every day and right up
like
until
that
Thursday?
Bad. Yeah, he could have. He was just being a bitch.
It wasn't that bad. He could have come back. He was just being a bitch, and so he took his ball and he went home, and I was pissed because this was like the week after he won the title, and I'm like, you fucking little bitch, you little asshole. And of course, in all my role plays, if I'm ever really pissed off about something, I'll always bring that up, and I'll always say that little Asian bastard couldn't freaking, and then, you know, I'd freak out, and then I'd calm down, and that's
nice.
Why I hate Karasu.
Damn.
That's
what opponent would you most... What opponent would you most like to face?
What opponent would I most like to face? Possibly...
me?
Oh, people. Who am I thinking of?
Fuck you.
Not you. I've already beat you. Shut up.
Sounds like you're breaking up. I'm going to have to hit the disconnect button.
Okay. No, but honestly, my who I'd like to really beat would be have to either be Casey Campbell or go up against Fire again. Only because of the whole thing that happened on Rampage like a couple of weeks ago when I was getting Fire to join Great Nastiness as a valet. Of course, I was going to tell her she was going to be a valet for a while. These girls were going to be in her singles matches, but, you know, just let her find out on her own. And Chameleon came out, he's like, oh, you know what, I'm going to cheat on my wife, and I'm going to go and have a little zadoodle with Fire. And I get super kicked, and I'm knocked out, and I don't know what's going on. And of course, I went to Chameleon, and I went, you're a sick bastard. I called him a sick bastard. And I said, I need my match against Fire now. But she's gone. I don't know, she's having some problems with her computer now. And so I have to wait. But since I have to wait for a Fire, then I would definitely want Casey Campbell because I know he's around. So those would be two because I can't decide.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last question is, what is your favorite feud that you've had?
Favorite feud would definitely have to be with, oh man, I've honestly never gotten the chance to actually really feud with someone, but my real, like, the first one that I ever had was with Casey Campbell, and I guess that would have to be my only choice, because I never really feuded with anyone else. Other than actually, I had a semi-feud with this girl named Zaria Lene, I think that's how you pronounce it, in a fed called EWO, run by Cody Clark. Nobody likes Cody Clark here, so I'm not going to talk about
place, that. Anyway.
Yeah. It's not bad, but I'm not going to talk about it, because I know how bad or mad people get over it. So I had a semi-feud with her. I was trying to get her to not be such a slave to her master, apparently. You know, I'm doing, like, air quotes, but you can't see it. And that was kind of a semi-feud that I had. So I guess, yeah, I'll just go with Casey Campbell, because I don't remember much of the other feud that I had. So let's go with Casey.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have any anything else to add there, McNasty, Kyle?
Actually, I do.
Oh, fuck. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, or you. All right. Who thinks Iron Man looks like an awesome movie?
Oh, that would be fucking me right here.
Thank you.
That? Okay. Who thinks Speed Racer is going to be an awesome movie?
I haven't watched the previews, but
it's really sad. I thought that was going to be really gay, and from the previews, I actually do think I'm a little bit excited for that.
You know what? Honestly, I cannot wait. I'm very much excited to see it.
What's also amping me up about Iron Man, I don't know if you know this, Rob, there's rumors going around that War Machine's going to be in it.
I've heard that. That would just be fucking sweet.
War Machine is in it, but not in his actual suit.
Yeah, I've heard that he's in, I know the guy's in there who's supposed to be like James whatever, but
Rob
I don't
Rhodes,
know
yeah.
if he's going to show up as a War Machine or not, but that would be sick.
That would be awesome.
I don't know. From what I've seen in the previews,
that, you might be thinking of Iron Monger. That's the bad guy who looks like the Mark
right.
One, only like giant size. That's
yeah.
the bad guy.
Yeah, like yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking of, the Iron Monger. But I know that War Machine, he was confirmed to be in it, but not in his suit. So
damn. Well, I guess that's gonna be the sequel. Have you heard the rumor that the Iron Man and the new Hulk movies are gonna
yes.
like cross over? There's gonna be some scene where like. Thunderbolt Ross talks to Iron Man or something.
Yeah, and Nick Fury, Sam Jackson.
Dude, that's awesome, but I'll tell you this, I don't know if you've ever seen the Ultimates
yes.
comics.
Yes, I have.
Draw that for Samuel Jackson.
Right. Oh,
if you go back to the first issue of Ultimates, it was Samuel Jackson
yep.
with an eye patch.
Yep.
See, what's funny is that like Nick Fury was like hardcore, the gruff white American with the, you know, black or brown hair and the white streaks, and I don't know. Everyone got a total revamped, but I don't know why they changed him for that. Because a lot of people apparently were not happy with the way that they
because they planned if they ever made any movies or anything out of it. I mean, Samuel Jackson's in everything. Samuel Jackson's thought is a badass,
I can tell you why they did it. Because Sam Jackson's a big Nick Fury fan. And I forget who drew it, but he was aware of that, and so they got permission to use his likeness and everything. So that
Well, then that would make sense then.
Yeah, that's why.
But a lot of people weren't happy because a lot of people apparently knew that. Oh well, this is just setting up for like if people don't want to see like a white Nick Fury, they're gonna make him look like Samuel Jackson.
I don't know. Sam Jackson kicks ass.
He's BA anyway. I don't care what anyone says. He's BA Baracus. That's all I'm gonna say.
Alright. Okay, well we're gonna finish it up here then. So we're gonna take a quick break, then we're gonna come back, and we actually kinda sorta have some half-assed listener comments. So we'll do that after the break.
We used to be real close.
Alright, we're back. So it is, I was actually disappointed. I was looking forward to talking about myself for a half an hour. But, it looks like you were saved from that fate, McNasty, by our own Joe Boxer, who left a comment on the forum. And the comment
glory,
he left...
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, the comment he left was, Project X is a girly man and will not accept the commissioner's challenge of wanting to fight him. Why? Because PX is in fact a homosexual and has a man crush on the commish. I know this, Rob knows this, and PX knows this. And oddly enough...
I mean, Nasty does not know this.
Oddly enough, I do know this. I'm well aware. And hopefully that means that PX will come on the show to dispute this. And then, out of all the people to reply, oddly enough, it was Kyle Stevenson. His reply was... Joe, you're mad because PX made sweet love to your mom.
Dude, I think I saw that video on YouTube. Stevenson must have been the one recording it.
That's a little disturbing. So
you know what? That's actually really sick because I do not want to see little leather-headed kids running around the PWA locker room. That freaking Daniel Boxer vagina.
That's, gross! Alright, that's just enough of this. So we're gonna
night, folks.
Yes, we're gonna close up shop here. Don't forget to tune in to Revolutions Per Minute, and next week, of course, we will have all the recapping action that you could possibly want. So we'll
unless of course that makes two pay per views in a row, we have another Genesis 5, in which case we might not have results for another 6 months.
There you go. So tune in then, and we'll find out.